Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing quality products that your animals deserve at a value that you can appreciate. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, August 9th. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. All that at chickenwhisperer.com. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on that little yellow chat now button that's on our homepage there. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet other friends, and talk about backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a sufficient self-sufficient lifestyle. While you're there at Blog Talk Radio, I also want to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today. Hope you all had a absolutely wonderful weekend. I know that I did. It is now time to see what kind of weekend Pat had, my special co-host, poultry advocate and author. Y'all know her as Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisper. Yeah, I had a great weekend, too. In fact, it seemed like it was almost a vacation. It was somehow time slowed down this weekend, and I'm not sure if it was because I got to bed early or just kind of relaxed and let things happen, but in fact, it took me about 2 days to dig a post hole. The grass is so hard, and the clay underneath, so I'd have to sort of dig a couple inches and add water and then go have a cup of tea or something, so... So that's my time slowed down between digging post holes and the heath back. And then I had a wonderful time up at Edible Landscape. I sat down and had a great chat with Michael McClooney. He owns the place. And, oh, my goodness, their place is – it's just a garden of Eden up there. It's absolutely just fabulous. So, yeah, I had great fun. So what did you do this weekend?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see if I can even remember. Let's see. Saturday. Well, school starts today for all the kiddos here. So today is keep your fingers crossed. Say a little prayer for Jen. She had to wake up early this morning and head to school. Of course, she was in her classroom all last week getting it ready for all the kiddos to show up today. But just keep your fingers crossed. Say a little prayer for her. But we got some things ready. She did some last-minute shopping for her and her classroom. That she got done, and other than that, it was just getting a few things done around the house, taking care of the goats and the chickens and laundry, just getting ready for the big school week, getting back into grind, going to the grocery store, you know, fixing her lunch last night, just kind of getting back in the old routine for fall is what we did over the weekend. But you're right, it did seem like a slower-paced weekend for us, too. We did get a lot done, but we had a good one. But we are back here. It is Monday. We have a very exciting week this week on the radio show for everybody. Today, we're going to welcome Matt Lamont. He is the vice president of the American Bantam Association. He'll be on today. We'll be talking about the American Bantam Association, the brand new, newly released 2010 ABA yearbook that's just come out. In fact, it's probably gotten to some mailboxes already. Others are they're just kind of in transit. I'm waiting for mine to arrive. Hopefully, I'll get mine this week. And then we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about some big shows that are coming up, the Ohio National, which we're planning on attending and broadcasting live there. We'll have great Chicken Whisperer gear as well there for everyone. And other shows that are coming up with the ABA that require special mentions, and then all kinds of great things about the ABA. So we'll be welcoming Matt a little bit later today on the show. Tomorrow, it looks like we're going to be welcoming Jeanette Behringer with the ALBC, and we're going to be talking about the title of the show. The subject is the emergence of industrial chickens and the importance of heritage breeds. If you can take that all in, the emergence of industrial chickens and the importance of heritage breeds. And we'll be welcoming Dr. Edward Buss. He's a former professor of poultry and genetics at Penn State. How about that, folks? We've got a great show lined up tomorrow with the ALBC. That'll be tomorrow, Wednesday. It being the second Wednesday of the month, another great show, Ask the Chicken Doctor, with Peter Brown, owner of First State Vet Supply. That's coming up this Wednesday. Thursday, I believe, will be, Back Home Magazine with Richard Frudenberger. We're talking this weekend, this Thursday, all about foxes. And so we've talked about raccoons, we've talked about possums, now we're talking about foxes in the hen house. And then this coming Friday, it looks like we're going to be welcoming author Shauna Coronado with the author of Gardening Nude. So that'll be this Friday. She's going to be talking about, speaking of edible landscapes, she'll be talking about edible landscapes and also how to have an edible landscape and send that to food banks and how we can feed the community with edible landscapes. So really excellent show schedule for this week. We hope you can tune in every day, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. And, of course, it is our new fall programming schedule, which means we are broadcasting now for 90 minutes, an hour and a half, every single day. So it gives us a lot more time with our guests, which means we can learn a lot more from our guests. So we have all of that going on. Being today is Monday also. Y'all know last week we introduced a brand new sponsor. We're still trying to get the commercials done so we can start playing those. But Crazy K Farm with the makers of the hen saddle, the Hen Saver hen saddles. And so we'll be giving one of those away to one lucky listener at the end of the show today. At the end of every show, we do have a chicken trivia contest. You can call in if you know the answer. All you have to do is be the right caller with the right answer, and you'll win today's prize from our today's sponsor. Of course, today it happens to be Crazy K Farm and makers of the Hen Saver hen aprons. So we've got those. Yeah, love for poultry in the chat room is like, yay. So, yeah, we'll have another winner today at the end of today's show based on the correct answer of the chicken trivia question. So that's what we've got lined up for this week. I'm very, very excited, Pat. Speaking of awesome things, chickens in the news segment coming at you right now. Do you have any chickens in the news that popped up over the weekend, Pat? Even personal chickens in the news.
Personal chickens in the news? Well, let's see. The little broods that hatched out, or little batch that hatched out a week ago are all doing fine. I didn't lose a single one, and their mother is happily tutoring them on all the ways of chickenhood, so no losses on that one. But here's an interesting, I found it really interesting anyway. What I find interesting, I know is subjective, but there are now firefighting motorcycles, and they're being used in the UK to quickly respond to small fires that can grow so quickly out of control before one of the slower trucks get there. And these little motorcycles, I guess, can get on site just lickety-split and put those fires out. Each motorcycle comes with about two 6-gallon water tanks and a 30-meter hose that sprays water and a fire-retardant foam. So, and then what they're doing is part of a cost saver effort, and then if the little motorcycles can get it out of control, the heavier trucks won't have to respond, and it'll save them some money. So that's kind of a good idea.
That is pretty interesting.
I didn't mean. I just kind of dropped you off, but I was probably taking a drink there. But there's a lot of uses for these when you start to think about it. You could even put a little motorcycle type of with more water in it if you needed to. But I guess they're studying it, and apparently it's gotten some excellent results. So, yeah. Might be something for us to think about here in the U.S., especially in larger cities where it's hard to get traffic through, much less a fire truck through in some of those areas. Okay.
How would you like to ride in that sidecar?
Probably be fun. At least I can hang my head out the window and get my eyes get a breeze, right? Oh gosh.
I love it. Let me look over here to our Facebook page, and of course. Folks, if you're really missing out if you don't follow us on Facebook. It's become quite the fun location to go to, especially in the evenings when we have Facebook fan contests, and we give all kinds of great prizes away. We do chicken trivia on our Facebook. You never know when a Facebook fan contest might appear. You just have to be there at the right time and at the right place, and we'll ask a Facebook fan question, trivia question. If you're the correct answer, the first person to post the correct answer, then you win whatever prize was awarded for that prize. So you can go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. And, of course, when you're there, you can see all kinds of great updates. You can feel free to answer any questions that other Facebook fans and followers have. If I'm not at liberty to be on at that time and you know the answer, or something's worked out for you, because we know regarding backyard poultry, there could be many, many right answers for whatever question they may have. It may be something that's worked for you, worked for your neighbor. Please respond, and let's make this a great forum, if you will, so you can talk with others and help others that may have questions. It could be an answer. It could be a question that so many new chicken people have, as simple as Bob West had one on our Facebook page today. It says, I want eggs. I have 8 hens. Do I need a rooster? I'm not wanting little chicks yet. Thanks, Bob. So it could be an entry-level question like that, and, of course, Ivan already answered. Hens will lay eggs regardless of the presence of a rooster, but they will not be able to hatch chicks, which is what you want anyway, so all is good. And I did, too. I said, nope, you do not need a rooster for your hens to lay fresh eggs. So it could be a question like that. It could be a little bit more detailed. It could be talking about when to introduce smaller chickens and with your big chickens. So if you know the answer, please answer, because you may have a different answer than I, a different answer than Pat, and it could also be a correct answer, and it may actually work better for this particular fan's setup. So we encourage you to do that, facebook.com/the chicken whisperer. So those are some of the questions you actually may see. Here's a question. I'll just go ahead, and this is kind of what you can see on our Facebook page. Kimberly wrote in, I have a chicken question. Ever since I read your comments on arsenic in the feed, I have let my chickens free range. Now that they are getting closer to laying, will they come back to the coop and nesting boxes, or will there be eggs all over the place? And this is my answer for her. I put, you probably, and most of us need to do this whether they're within a run or not, you will probably need to train them where to lay. Enjoy the excitement of the first few eggs you find and enjoy them for breakfast to celebrate. Then place a few eggs in their nesting boxes so they will learn where they're supposed to lay. You can also go ahead and place wooden or ceramic eggs in their nesting boxes and even golf balls. And I said, enjoy your first egg. So, yes, you can go ahead and put some the ceramic eggs look so real, even some wooden eggs, golf balls in there now if you want to, so they can kind of correlate what they see in there when they start laying. But even then, we've had to occasionally, when they lay the egg, maybe out in the run or out in the yard, take those real eggs and put them in the nesting boxes, and then they should, at that point, you shouldn't have any problems. They should start laying in the nesting boxes, but you may have to kind of train them, if you will, where to lay and why to lay there. But even then, you have to be careful, because they may find a place that they love out in your yard where they feel safe, maybe under an azalea. maybe we had a young lady of our meetup group that for some reason had an old tire underneath her deck. She never knew it was there. And she went looking because they should have been laying, and she found a whole clutch of eggs there inside that round spare tire. And she did exactly what I told her. She said, put some of the eggs in the nesting boxes. Sure enough, the next meetup group, she said, no problems. They're not laying outside anymore. They're laying in the nesting boxes. So these are just some of the questions and answers you may see on our Facebook pages, as well as all the awesome Chickens in the News. I'm going to run down some of these. I'm not going to read them all, but just so you know what kind of Chickens in the News we have. Clucky new trend hits the Bronx. I think we reported that on that last week. We have GB City Council to consider chicken ordinance. The push to allow sustainable practice of keeping chickens for eggs is moving ahead in Grass Valley, with council expected to ask for changes to the city's animal ordinances next week to accommodate poultry. The completed ordinance could become before the council later this month. And then we've got, fowl challenge at City Hall. It's illegal to keep fowl as pets in Red Wing, yet Shannon Tarr has been doing exactly that, she said, having kept two hens and a goose in her yard and her garage for several years. And so this is a perfect example of keeping chickens under the radar. You know, and this is happening right now in Niceville, Florida. Not a very happy situation down there. I talked with Ann last night for a while, and I think either tonight or tomorrow night they go, and it doesn't look good, but we're keeping our fingers crossed for her. But here in this news article, she's been keeping them for years. No one's even known, no clue. And so when you go to approach the council to try to change the law so you can do what you've been doing for years legally, and then they all of a sudden come up with all these harebrained excuses and stereotypes about keeping backyard poultry, and you can say to them, well, you know, obviously it's not too big of a problem because I've been keeping them for 6 years and no one ever knew. So how can you possibly tell me they're a nuisance if I've had them for 6 years and nobody even knows I had them? I just want to come out and get the laws changed for others that want to do this, but they don't want to do it under the radar. They want to do it legally. Same thing that happened in Dunwoody here in Atlanta. Several people in Dunwoody keep backyard chickens. How many complaints? Zero. And so then when they start firing off all these what ifs, you can say, what do you mean? What are you talking about? There are already plenty of chickens in the city. People keep plenty of chickens. Let's look at the reports. How many complaints have you gotten for chickens, dogs, cats, loud music, kids playing in the backyard too loud? And so all these great articles are, again, found on our Facebook page. We've got talking about another sad story here. Four chickens were stolen from the Theo Wirth Children's Garden in Minneapolis. We've covered several stories like that. Here's an interesting genetic modification. Glow-in-the-dark lifesavers or mutant freaks, as home office statistics reveal a 10% rise in the use of genetically modified animals for research, scientists appear to be divided about their usefulness. At first glance, the creation of a chicken that glows in the dark seems a disturbing and unnecessary study. So you can read that on our Facebook page. Anything that we think is related to sustainable lifestyle, healthy foods, backyard poultry, backyard goats, anything like that, agriculture, it may not just be about backyard poultry. And I'm going to read this one through, and then we'll take a commercial break and get on to our special guest. And, of course, we'll see if Pat has any news, too, after we wrap up with this story here. Let me go ahead and get it where it will open up. I believe this is coming to us from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Maybe a bad link here. Let me see. Here we go. MLive.com. MLive.com. More homeowners are flocking to raise backyard chickens. Topic will be focus of Eat Local Kalamazoo event. This comes to us from, Shannon Mundo. Kalamazoo, a stray chicken pecked a spot into the hearts of Kelly Oliver and Doug Wolfus of Lawton. She showed up one fall scratching her way around the bird feeder looking for food, but we figured she'd never make it through the winter, said Oliver, an academic advisor at Western Michigan University. When November came and the hen nicknamed Snowball showed no signs of leaving, Doug built a coop. And since she has been still around, and even through the next spring, they ordered 13 new chicks to keep her company. When the chicks were old enough to go outside, Snowball checked them out, and then we never saw her after that. We decided she was the chicken angel, just going around getting people interested in chickens. Now, that's funny. They introduced 13 new chicks to this chicken that's hung around their house for a while, and then she left. She flew the coop. They never saw her again. And they decided she was the chicken angel, just going around getting people interested in keeping backyard poultry. That was, guess what? Guess what? That was 10 years ago. They now have 20 hens and 18 chicks. While not everyone is blessed with their own chicken angel, many have hatched the idea that raising chickens in backyards is a good idea. Local nonprofit group Fair Food Matters will host Is That a Hen in Your Yard, starting at 7 p.m. Wednesday at the Kalamazoo Public Library as part of its Eat Local Kalamazoo program. Lori Esquive and local attorney Susan Klein will cover the basics of caring for chickens and discuss chicken regulations in cities and townships around Kalamazoo County. Again, folks, as you know, you've been following us all across the country. Backyard poultry is popping up everywhere, which means also these folks that love backyard poultry, that have beautiful birds, are also getting into show poultry. We've seen that. We want to introduce the backyard folks into showing poultry and into getting out and going to these poultry shows all across the country. We're really going to be pushing that this year as show season begins, joining groups like ABA and APA. There's power in numbers, my friends, and whether it be backyard poultry, show poultry, and so we really are going to push. In fact, I know it's been a great big push starting this year, early 2010, late 2009, with our Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup group. We even had to create a whole new forum for the show scene so people could know when and where some of the local shows were going to be. And then they talk about it. Hey, where do you want to meet up? Hey, we're staying here. We're staying there. Oh, I saw a beautiful set of cochons that I bought there and brought home for my backyard flock. And so we really are trying to incorporate and integrate these backyard poultry. Some of them don't even know shows exist for poultry. And so when they hear about it, their eyes light up and they're like, really? Are you serious? And then they get all excited. They go to their first show and they're hooked. In fact, they may even come back and look at their beautiful birds and say, you know what? I think that I can show my birds as well. What a great way to enjoy backyard poultry even more. And so that's one thing. That's one of our goals with the radio show this year and our new fall programming is to get the backyard sustainable lifestyle person into visiting these shows, even if they don't want to get into that step of showing, but just attending the shows, meeting other people. And of course, you know, if you attend these shows, like Pat will tell you, you just might take 2, 3, 4, 5, or a dozen home with you once you see these awesome and beautiful birds at these shows. That happened to you when you were at the Ohio National. You brought back some beautiful Chanticleers.
Yeah, that's right, and I just love them. I also at the semi-annual brought back some brown egg-laying Morans, and they're just absolutely wonderful. And I got a Buckeye, and then I saw another breed I wanted to get. So it's kind of endless, Whisper. You start being a chicken collector, which kind of messes up the breeds, but at least it provides the support to the breeders that do keep them pure. But I have a genuine eclectic eye candy flock in my yard. There's no question about that.
Candy, I love it. And then it's serious.
Say again?
There's serious eye candy at these poultry shows. I'm telling you, it's. I remember the first poultry show I went to. I was like, What in heaven's name is that? And you look at some of these breeds, and it's just like amazing, like the moderns. It's like, oh my goodness. And so.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I mean, some of the. I would even call them designer chickens. I mean, especially the ones with the top hats, and you wonder how they can see, but they seem to do fine. And then there are those that have full feathers all on their legs, and they almost step on them when they walk. I mean, there's a lot of designer chickens, as our local police officer called them. He said, I never knew there were designer chickens when he saw a chicken that had to be taken out of the city and into the country. So he just thought they were all white or red, stupid, in reaction all the time kind of chickens. So, Andy, do a sound test. You're coming in a little scratchy.
Okay, testing 1, 2, 3, testing. We'll check in the chat room. Let me go over here to the chat room. Okay, we've got no sound. Okay, maybe just a little bit closer to the microphone there. I was getting a little lax. I'm actually getting some new equipment. I'm very excited about it. In fact, I was on the phone with them at this company that sells radio broadcast equipment, both for on the road and here in the office. So I may actually post a picture of that in the chat room here a little bit later of the equipment that I'm looking at and to make the show even better.
I get some too, Whisper. If you get new equipment, I get new equipment. Totally fair.
I'm loud and clear now. Yep, it's being at the main switchboard is here, and the broadcast comes out of here. But actually, when we get you on the road, that may be a possibility, especially if you're on the road with us. I know you're not going to be at the Ohio National, but there is one piece of equipment that I think is going to be imperative for me to have when we're on the road. So I'm looking at it now, still trying to narrow it down a little bit to see what we can do that will sound the best.
Yeah, don't forget, while you're at the Ohio National, I'll be at the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy annual meeting and annual conference, giving a workshop there. So maybe we can just broadcast live from there a little, just briefly, too, when we call in. But I guess there's a bunch of road trips coming up for both of us. I mean, quite a few. We're getting booked.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be hitting especially a lot of the local shows. If they're within 2-3 hours of Atlanta, we're going to try to hit as many shows as we can and then be real selective with the shows across the country. We'll be working with our sponsors like ManaPro and EdCartons.com and Randall Berkey and Ideal and seeing where the big shows around them and see if we can't get out there and support our sponsors as well as support Showing Poultry. So we're really looking forward to it this year. In fact, we wanted to support the American Bantam Association as well as let the show folks know that they can listen to the show and have and learn and listen to the specialists like our poultry scientists we have on and Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown, and that we have the APA and ABA on every month here on the radio show. In fact, when you get the new 2010 American Bantam Association yearbook, just open up the cover. You'll see a full-page color ad inside the front cover, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show, because we really want to reach out to the show folks and let them know there's benefit listening to the show, meeting others, being in the chat room, and then we're even going to actually have some of the winners on the show when we welcome monthly the ABA and the APA of some of their top national shows. And a lot of people don't know this, but a lot of people are NASCAR fans. I'm not raising my hand that I am one. It's a time issue and an interest issue. But you know, with NASCAR, there's a point system. Well, it can be just as exciting in show poultry because, yes, there is even a point system in poultry and poultry shows. We may even talk a little bit about that today with our guest, Matt, who is the vice president of the American Bantam Association. In fact, we're going to go ahead and go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we will welcome Matt Lamont, vice president of the American Bantam Association, right after this short break. So stay with us, folks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at MountHealthy.com. That's MTHealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom-labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today. It's Monday. We're going to make it through another week together. I promise you that, all the way until we have fun Friday. But it is Monday, and it's the second Monday of the month, which means we are welcoming the American Bantam Association to the radio show. And, of course, my co-host Pat is live with us, and it's time to introduce the Vice President of the American Bantam Association, Matt Lamon. Welcome, Matt. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Andy and Pat, and enjoy being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks
I know
for
that we've had you on before. In fact, y'all were one of our first guests over a year and a half ago when we, or about a year and a half ago when we started broadcasting out of a small station here in Atlanta, and have been growing ever since. So we're glad that y'all have signed on to come on once a month and keep us and all our listeners informed about what's going on with the American Bantam Association. Always interesting. I actually this weekend, maybe it was a Thursday or Friday, received our poultry press in the mail. And so always enjoy taking a little bit of time sitting down, reading through that, looking at all the winners and the breeds and all the breeders information and the upcoming shows. It's just it's just a part of my day. When I get that paper, I just set aside some time to read through it because it's such a great publication. Speaking of publications, I know one thing we wanted to talk about today was the new ABA 2010 yearbook that has been printed. It is heading out. Some of our listeners have already received it. Some are waiting for it. It is in transit. But tell us a little bit about this yearbook. Why is the yearbook as important? How they can get the yearbook? What kind of information is in the yearbook? Because we'd all want to learn more and of course get one as well.
I'm always excited every time the yearbook comes out because I always say that the yearbook is worth the price of an ABA membership by itself.
Absolutely.
Just the amount of information contained, they're very collectible. We've continuously put one out since 1914, so there's a lot of history and a lot of good articles in those yearbooks. My favorite section is what's called Who's Who in Bantams. It will document a win of over in a class of over 25 birds. And so if you're looking for a particular breed or variety, it's kind of like the baseball box scores with poultry. You can go in there, and I want black modern game bantams. I can go see who exhibited them all across the United States and then contact that person to buy stock. So it's kind of a great little reference tool for somebody looking for a particular kind of bird.
Yeah, absolutely. All kinds of great information. And this comes out pretty much every year, is that correct?
Yeah, we put it out annually, and it usually hits the mailboxes in early August, and everybody has them, you know, by the end of summer so they can get ready for the fall shows. The ads alone, there's show ads, there's breed club ads, individual ads for birds. We have a list of all the judges, our bylaws, historical articles, plus new articles that are created every year on breeding different breeds and varieties. So just the amount of information is amazing. For, like I said, the price of the membership, the yearbook's worth that tenfold, I think.
Yeah, it's just a great value, especially if you become a member, and that can be a great segue to tell us how people can become a member. I know also we can lead into also that your brand-new website, your updated website, which I have visited quite frequently and with lots and lots of information, but I guess that's kind of runs hand-in-hand. You can join, I believe, through the website. So tell us about the website and how they can join ABA.
Yeah, last February we completely redesigned our website. We were one of the first exhibition poultry clubs to be online back in 99, 2000, and we realized that our site maybe had gotten a little stale, so we updated it, and it's at www.bantamclub.com, and mm-hmm. You'll find several things there. I think the greatest thing, if you're a member, you can register on that site. We have currently 50 historical books and articles on our article section that are only available to members only, and just the cost of what it would cost to buy all those books and the information contained in it's very valuable. Also, I think my favorite part's the photo gallery. So if someone's looking for a breed of chickens and they're not sure what they want, they can go to our photo gallery, see all the different breeds, plus there's some ideas on housing, and then we did add a new section that's been very popular, and it's called ABA People. So it has some of the judges, past and present supporters of the American Bantam Association, and I added more pictures to that site last night. So there's over 780 pictures, I believe, and
wow.
We're at 180,000 hits. So it's really a popular thing on the internet. Everyone can see that. That's not reserved for members only.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. It's a really awesome website. It's been updated. You can see all the officers, contact information, email. Yeah, it's definitely a visit to go to and join up. It's not very expensive. And like I said, just the price of the membership and you getting the 2010 yearbook is right there, well worth it. And every single year you will get that for your membership. And great information in the book, great information on the website, and you can get all kinds of information about the ABA. Tell us about some of the upcoming shows, specifically the big shows we're looking at, the semi-annual, the annuals. I know that I will personally be, God willing, up there at the Ohio National in Columbus. I've already booked my rooms. I've already started gathering and collecting and set aside some great Chicken Whisperer gear to have, both to give away and to sell. And like I said, I talked earlier, getting some new equipment so we can, when we broadcast and go on the road, we can have a good, reliable broadcast like we do back here in the office. And tell us about some of the big shows that are coming up.
Well, the big show, like you said, would be the Ohio National. And I think Pat can testify because she was there last year. But that is the mother of all chicken shows. We're lucky this year to have the ABA National at that show. So historically, some of the best ABA Nationals or biggest ABA Nationals have been at the Ohio National. And this one will be no exception. I know I'm a member of that club, and we're projecting 6,000 to 8,000 birds. Normally we have 5,000 to 6,000 anyways. So with the added Bantam people coming in, we expect it to be a big show. And you will be amazed, Andy, once you get there. Not only is there a lot of show chicken people there, the amount of traffic just in spectators alone, I heard they have sold out all the spaces. So all the vending spaces are full. It will be something to see. It'll be our annual mecca to the Ohio National.
It's true. What Matt said is absolutely true. It's a cultural event and a phenomena that you can't describe. I mean, the sounds, the smells, the people, the sights. It's absolutely a not to miss kind of spectacle, and it's so much fun. Oh my God, it's so much fun. I'm a little sorry I won't be there this year. but then really I've got the rest of my life, so I will be there. Future years I'll be there when I'm not doing a workshop other places.
Yeah. I've been in this I've been in this close to 40 years, and I think my first show I went to was an Ohio National, so everything else was kind of downhill from there. But I think I've only missed two since then. It's just something that you plan your life around every year, and you make sure you go because that's the place to be in exhibition poultry every year.
Yeah. Yeah, and where do you live, Matt?
I live in Lima, Ohio, so I'm only about an hour
and
15 minutes away. So it's like my backyard, and one of the reasons I'm a member of that club, and they've always supported the ABA very well. Once we get through the Ohio National in the second weekend of November, our next big meet will be the 2011 semi-annual, which will be in Delmarva, the Delmarva area. So it's in Harrington, Delaware, at the Delaware State Fairgrounds. And that plans to be a big show. We have a new breed that's qualifying in Columbus called the Sarama, the American Sarama. And if they make it qualify in Columbus, they have to qualify again in Harrington, Delaware. And then that will actually be the first new breed that we've admitted to since I can remember. So we're kind of excited. They have a big following, and the white American Sarama is going to qualify. And then down the road, they're looking at other colors. So it's one of the smallest breeds. It has a tremendous following. They were originally imported from Malaysia, and they're a little less than 10-ounce breed, so very popular with the backyarders and people that like chickens for pets.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I knew that was going on. They're trying to get that recognized with the Saramas. We've got a couple of avid showers in our Atlanta group that are showing and are very participating and traveling around trying to get that a reality. With those. But that's great that all the booths have been sold out for vendors. That makes it so exciting. And you can come and actually save the shipping charges and by getting something you might need, seeing the new products that they're releasing, actually talking to the people from the places a lot of times you order from anyway. I know there'll be some feed folks out there. You can look at different feeds, talk to them about their feed, the science that goes into their feed, why their feed may be better than other feed that's out there. So I know that we'll have some feed folks out there. Again, we'll be out there, and of course we'll be starting to contact you, Matt, and the directors of the show and everybody to try to arrange. We'll probably end up having a special two-hour show since we'll be live there, and then just start filtering in and scheduling the folks to come in and talk to folks on the show, including definitely the FFA and the 4-H. I know Meyer Hatchery is the big sponsor of the youth show there. So, yeah, we're getting very, very excited about the show in the Ohio National. Also, someone in our chat room mentioned about the 2011 show, and I believe it's Indianapolis, Crossroads. Are y'all going to have a big hand in that as well?
Yes, the ABA has placed their 2011 National at the 2011 show in Indianapolis at Crossroads. In conjunction with the APA and the ABA, we will be doing a joint national, which only happens on special occasions, usually about every 4 or 5 years. So not only is that going on that weekend, we also have the ARBA Rabbit National at the Indianapolis Fairgrounds the same weekend. So that provides to be logistically a big event for us and both the rabbit people, and we're telling everybody to get your rooms reserved early and make plans for that show. That ought to give another big show right back to back.
That is awesome.
We better get on Priceline, Whisper, make some reservations.
Yes. Also, I brought two big things for the Ohio National I forgot, and I will be executed if I don't mention it. They have the biggest youth show in the country. So Mike and Janet Miller, traditionally year after year, along with Meyer Hatcher this year, put on probably the biggest youth showmanship and standalone youth show in the United States. I believe there was 1,800 birds in the youth show alone last year. So it's a big youth show. And then Pat will tell you about our sale area. You have to go through the sale area once if you've never done it, just to see all the different things that are for sale back there. Thousands of birds change hands every year at the Ohio National, so it's something to see also.
Yeah, it's really true. It's like, it's undescribable in a way, but just about any kind of poultry you would want, they're swapping poultries back and forth, and you can add to your flock. You get geese, you get heritage turkeys. There was a beautiful chocolate turkey there last time that I not made out of chocolate, but I mean the color, chocolate turkey. But it's something to behold, and it seems to morph. It's like birds come and birds go. You go back and I went back to, and was kind of keeping my eye on one little bird, and bam, it was gone, but there was another one that was even nicer. So the sale area is a lot of fun.
And it tends to be one of the busiest areas of the show. There's always a lot of folks back there looking and buying, selling, trading, whatever back there. So and a lot of rare breeds. We talk about heritage breeds. Mm-hmm. It's kind of gotten to be a buzzword, but some of the true heritage breeds, that's probably the only place you'll find them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some breeds there I'd never, well, for example, these buff Chanticleers, I'd never even heard of them, much less that they came in that buff variety. And I know that's not an approved variety yet, but there they were at the Ohio National. So, yeah. Anyway,
yes,
it's
Chanticleers are making a comeback.
Yes, they are. They're wonderful birds. They're wonderful birds. Yeah. So are the Buckeyes. Talk about a bunch of Buckeyes.
Buckeyes being our state bird, they really have gotten popular in the last few years, and they've found that with the American, you talked about the American Livestock Breed Conservancy, they kind of started that out as one of these heritage breeds that can be dual purpose, and they've mm-hmm. promoted them big, so that's kind of helped us on the show side, because Mrs. Metcalf developed the Buckeye in Ohio in the 20s, and it's still going strong now in 2010.
Yeah. Well, plus they did such a wonderful improvement program to increase both their egg laying and the meat production. So they've really brought the bird up in the last several years. And in fact, I have one of the hens from the improvement program. I got it at the semi-annual there at Lucasville. So I was pleased to get one of those. And she really is a big, docile hen. I mean, I'm very pleased with her.
Yep. We like that breed for Ohio weather. That's probably one of the hardiest breeds to bring through the winter. They just do well in this climate and for the northern folks. And we've even got people in Florida raising Buckeyes. So it's just a real hardy breed that adapts pretty much to any climate you put it in.
Mhm. Mhm. And they're big. I find they're very not, but the color. What I love is because of course I'm from Indiana, so I'm sort of a Buckeye cousin over there. So I'm a Hoosier, but that Buckeye color. When we were growing up, we'd collect Buckeyes, and I always used to admire that mahogany, all the different tones. And I'll be darned if these Buckeyes don't display that color. It's really really distinctive, I think. And I have a couple of hybrid Buckeye chicks, and boy, their color shines right through. You can tell they're Buckeyes.
And yeah, we also have those in Bantam, so the Bantams have gained some popularity too. So we call Indiana Western Ohio, so we know what you're talking about there, Pat.
Yeah. I still say Dudden and Wouldn't and Zinc when I go back home. It takes me about 3 days to entrain to the accent and the vernacular there. Yeah, I feel very much at home there.
That's awesome. Yeah, Pat, you're right. When you know, I knew that I was visiting some friends. They were going to be attending the Ohio National, and we were sitting there at their dining room table, and we started playing around, and we did. We got some. We knew that based on the poultry press, because there's always something in the poultry press about the Ohio National, which is great, very informative, and we saw they had recommended actually a couple of hotels, and it was in this month's poultry press as well, $89, and then of course me and Fritz at his dining room table got online, and of course we became. And we got on Priceline, and we found a really nice Holiday Inn. Just it's less than a 5-minute drive from the event, and $49. So we saved $40 each night. We're gonna stay at least two nights. So we right there.
Now, Andy, I'm gonna tell you something you missed, because our $89 hotel that's our show headquarters is a Hilton, and it is gorgeous. So you'll never stay in a better hotel for $89 anywhere in the United States. We love the facility. They give us a great deal. And well, last I heard, boy, if you haven't got a room there, you better get it quick, because we normally fill the whole place up, plus the adjoining, there's another hotel that's part of that same operation that we always fill up too. But I always tell everybody, spend a little more or go to the Hilton.
That's where everyone meets after the show then for dinner and to have drinks too. So you just walk across the parking lot and you're right there, which is an awful lot of fun. Matt, where, at Crossroads, where's the place to stay at Crossroads?
They haven't announced the show hotel with Indy hosting the Super Bowl this year. I'm told by the supporters of that show that they've got several new hotels. The traffic in Indy is ungodly, so I'm sure they're going to try to get something close to the fairgrounds. The fairgrounds is kind of north-central Indy, and there's hotels all around Indy, but they're going to try to get some places close there so you can get back and forth, because that will be a three-day show. That will be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday show, with it being a joint national. So it makes it a little longer, but it also gives us time to judge all the birds. When you have a show that large, sometimes it takes an extra day to get them all judged.
I guess so. Well, how many judges? Oh, go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, I also heard some inside information that there's also a rabbit show going on there the same days, and so that you should book your rooms now if you're planning to go to Crossroads.
Having shown rabbits for several years, the ARBA convention is an annual event. They draw between 20 and 30,000 rabbits and the associated people to go with that. So, yeah, it's going to be a crowded fairgrounds that weekend with them in there and us too. So you'll be able to see anything with four legs and then all the birds with two legs that weekend. It'll all be in one location.
That's daunting to think of that many bunnies and birds all sort of together, isn't it?
The good thing is we will come in on Thursday and start judging on Friday. I believe the rabbits don't actually coop until Saturday, so there'll be a little bit of overlap there, and they stay till Wednesday or Thursday. So they're kind of going to be on the tail end of it. We'll be out on Sunday, so we won't all be hitting there at the same time, but there will be some overlap Saturday and Sunday where we'll both be there, and it'll be a tremendous crowd, I'm sure.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Matt. Do you ever need volunteers to show up just to help set up?
Every club needs volunteers for those things. Set up, tear down, just greet people at the front door. There's always something for somebody to do. So if anybody's interested, I always recommend contact your local poultry club, and they'll always take help. A lot of us are getting up in years, like myself, and we can always use a little young blood to get in there and help throw cages and clean up.
Yeah, especially I think the taking down is that went so fast at the Ohio National last year. It was pretty astonishing the system they had to get those cages down so fast.
I haven't belonged to that club for 12 years. We have it down to a science. When we did the Joint National in 1998 was actually at that time the biggest poultry show ever held, and I believe that record still stands. That show was set up, there was 12,000 birds. It was set up in 7 hours. So we wish we'd had a time delay picture of that, but we had about 80 people, and everybody knows what they got to do, forklifts, just logistic-wise, they had it all organized and laid out, and it went up, coop tags on the coops and shavings and cups in the coops in 8 hours. So it was amazing that we got that much done that fast.
Wow. Well, now, where are all these cages come from? Are they owned by the different clubs, or where do you find the cages?
With that big show, they came from everywhere. I think we had four or five different county fairs, three or four big poultry clubs. To get that many cages, they just kind of come from all over. And then you have that logistical problem of keeping them all separate. And I'm not sure what Crossroads is doing. I think they do the same thing. They pull from several different clubs to get all the cages that they need. And, again, that's the logistical nightmare, is keeping them all separate and getting them back to where they belong. So it's quite an operation to put one of these on.
Yes, indeed. And I know it takes thousands of hours in preparatory time, too. It really starts months of, and maybe even a year or two ahead of time to put on a show like that, just getting things all lined up. So thank you, all of you that are doing all that work behind the scenes to bring it to the focus and the event to actually happen.
It's a labor of love, I guess, for most of us. And then after you're done, you wonder why you did it. But then it wears off after a few weeks, and then we start back in the Ohio National Anyway. We start playing it immediately after the show. So every year they try to come up with something new and different and keep it fresh, and they've done a good job of that.
There's a question in the chat room from Hidden Acre Quail about how do they sign up for the youth show. I know his daughter's show, and he was curious about how they can sign up.
OhioNational.org is their website. The catalog will be on the website. If you don't have internet access, they do publish the secretary's address, and he will mail catalogs out to past exhibitors and anyone that requests one, but most of the catalog is online, so you can actually go online, print it out, and send it in. I always caution with the Ohio National entries close about a month early, so about mid-October you want to make sure you get everything off and sent in so they have time to process all that paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Wow. There you have it. A month ahead. So is there electronic? Can they sign in on the internet yet, Matt? Or
we had done that. We were actually the first club to ever do the electronic entries with credit cards on the internet, and it logistically that got to be a nightmare, so they've kind of went away from that. And all those coop tags, for whatever, 6,000 to 8,000 birds are manually written by 8 or 10 members on a weekend. So it just got to where the credit card fees were eating up too much of the profits, so we had to do away with that. It was nice when we were able to do that, but it just feasibly wasn't going to work anymore. So it's all manual, send them in type deal.
Wow, that really is impressive. That's a lot of work. My goodness. You'll be put to work at the Ohio show there, Whisper, besides being on the air.
They may put a broom in his hand and have him clean up. You never know.
Hey, I'd be more than willing.
I hear he's good at that.
Yeah,
he's got his bibs on anyway, so he'll be all ready to go.
Yeah, I'll definitely be having. It'll be cooler in November. So yeah, normally around October we switch over from our summer outfit to our winter and spring outfit, which is the bibs. I'm looking forward to it. You just about talked me into. I actually went while we were talking. Went over to the website to take a look at that Hilton, and you just about talked me into changing my reservations. I just may have to do that. If not, I'll just be camping out in the lobby there.
It's a gorgeous facility. I've stayed there ever since we've moved up there, and then if I have to go to Columbus for a weekend, I always make it a point to go back there.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, folks. Our guest today, of course, is the Vice President of the American Bantam Association, Matt Lamond. When we come back after commercial break, we're going to ask him a little bit about the point system and kind of how that works, and then we'll get on to our chicken trivia contest for today, sponsored by Crazy K Farm. Somebody's going to walk away with a brand-new hen saver for one of their hens. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It looks like we had Pat drop off there for a minute, so Pat, if you'll call back in, we'll of course bring you back live as well to finish out the interview. If you're just tuning in, our special guest today, being the second Monday of the month, is the American Bantam Association. Today we have Vice President Matt Lamont, and we're talking about all things ABA. There's Pat. Okay, let me bring her back on here. There we go. Sorry about that, Pat. You just disappeared for a second. And we're going to be
I do that sometimes.
We're going to be talking about towards the interview here the point system that sometimes a little confusing, and I know that the youth shows don't have points, but actually the main show actually does. If you can explain a little bit about that to our listeners that may not have even known there was a point system when it came to showing poultry.
Okay, no problem, Andy. I think the ABA has actually been in this almost 40 years. They have the best point system, I think, because ours is based on what we call starred wins. So you get a starred win when you win in either best of variety or reserve of variety or best of breed or reserve of breed or best of class or reserve of class in a class of 100 birds or more. So I don't care if you have black modern game bantams and you win in a class of 100, that's quite a win by any means. If you have a white-crested black Polish bantam and you win in a class of 100 all their comb clean like bantams, that's quite a win. So we track those wins. Once you accumulate 20 starred wins, and that can be in any breeder variety or several different ones, you become what is called a master exhibitor. Once you get 20 starred wins in a specific breed, you become a master breeder. And then we have some higher up programs for some of the ones that are, there's like gold star exhibitors and things like that, the farther you go up. But it's a very simple program. Anyone that's ever exhibited poultry knows that if you can win in a class of 100 birds at any show, that's quite an accomplishment, and then you're rewarded for doing that. And to be eligible for that, you have to be an active member of the ABA. And I forgot to tell you earlier, but our dues are $20 a year and $50 for 3 years, and there's a lifetime membership available for $400. So once you join up, not only do you get the yearbook and 4 newsletters and all the information on the website, you also get to compete in that Starred Wins program. I think that kind of sums it up in a nutshell, if that makes sense.
It does, absolutely. And so there's the point system there, and then different levels that you get by all of your wins, and which it kind of amazes people when they oh, there's point system. I'm like, oh yeah, don't ask me all much about it, because it's just over my head a little bit. But that's, yeah, it amazes people. So I know a lot of the youth actually are. I wouldn't say bypassing the youth shows, but as soon as they kind of get their wingtips wet a little bit, if you will, regarding the youth shows or a few of those, they're wanting to jump up to the main shows so they can start accumulating points as well. Is there any type of age requirement to do that?
Nope. The one thing unique about the ABA is we do not have a separate youth program, so anyone can join. If they join as a, you know, a 12, 13-year-old joins with full membership privileges, including the right to vote. So we haven't split that out just because of the amount of material that we offer and provide in the membership. So we've kind of left the membership as just a one-price deal, and I think most of the kids that belong to the ABA, and there's several of them, will agree that's probably their best investment going for what they get back from it.
Good deal. How many judges are you going to have at the Ohio National?
Oh, it will depend on the amount of birds that are actually entered finally. I believe they've got 10. I'm lucky enough to be one of the judges this year. I believe we have 10 signed up so far. We normally like to handle about 300 to 400 birds a day. That's what we can effectively do. And so if they get entries above what their current judge level is, they will add judges. And they're judges from all over the United States. This year we have them from California to Rhode Island.
So they're bringing
them in.
Too.
Yes, and Canada. Several Canadian judges that work in the States, too.
That's a lot of judges. Being a judge, does that pay pretty well, Matt?
We always say that it's a labor of love also. If you can break even, you're doing good at most shows. It's something you do because you enjoy doing it, not because you're going to get rich at doing it.
We shouldn't encourage it as a career, huh?
Yeah, you're not going to make a living at it, I don't think, but you just have to love poultry and placing the best ones, and that's kind of where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. And do you have many younger judges, or are most of you the vanguard of poultry?
Kind of the requirement is that you have to be an ABA member for 5 years or more. And then you should be familiar with all the breeds, because once you're a judge, you have to judge all 7 bantam classes. So you want to have some knowledge of all the breeds. And we have a 2-year apprenticeship program where they clerk under 8 different judges in all the classes at 8 different shows across the country. And then once they do that, they take a showroom test and then a written test. And having been one for a few years now, that's a pretty grueling process. You really have to know your stuff to number one, pass the written test, and then to pass the showroom test, which is given to you by a senior judge.
Oh, wow. But what does it cost to go through the apprentice program and become a registered judge?
It's $200 to be what they call a general license judge, which means you can judge all the bantam classes and bantam ducks. I believe it's $250 to enter that program, and then you have 2 years to complete your apprenticeship and then test out. Currently, I think we have a lot of judges. There's probably well over 170 judges, I believe. And then we have probably a dozen in the apprenticeship program that are working to get their judges. We always can use more, because at fair time, we find there's a shortage of judges that can get off during the week to go do fairs. So We sometimes get pressed getting enough judges that time of year.
Okay. And that, then when you're a judge at these shows, do they pay your expenses? Like, do they put you up in a hotel and pay your travel? Or do you have to cover that yourself?
All shows vary. Some do, some don't. So it just kind of, you know, it just kind of depends on the, not all clubs are like the Ohio National, where they have, you know, a decent amount of entries where they can pay a lot. So some of the smaller shows will do for less. Some of them are just one-day shows, so you don't have the room expense, just more or less driving to and from them. So it just kind of varies by show. There's none of them really the same. They kind of just vary.
Sounds like you love it, Matt.
I love showing, and that's my first passion. And since I've been judging the last several years, I always say I don't even know why I raise them anymore, because I don't get to show them much. So I'm kind of scaling back. Next year I'm scaling back, and I've got into modern game bantams. That's my new passion, and I'm bringing them out. So I'm going to show more next year than I'm going to judge. So looking forward to that. I've raised several this year and plan to raise more next year.
Oh, very good. I just have one other question, then I'll end if I can. And that is, and a lot of the shows, like our county shows and some of the other animals, there's a lot of politics. Do you find there's a lot of politics in the poultry show arena, or is it just pretty much on the bird's merit and really, truly best of show?
On my personal experience, I don't see the politics that I've seen in years gone by. I think now it's every judge working every class is trying to find the best bird he can. If I'm working the Rosecombe Clingline class, I want to find the best bird to put on champion row. So when I meet with the other judges, we're picking out the champion. I've got a good representation of that class. So I think all of us in the back of our head, we're looking at the best bird we can get up there, because we know we're going to be scrutinized by the other judges and the staff. And so that's our goal. A lot of people talk that there's politics, but frankly, we don't have enough time, nor is there any, I guess, any reason for it to happen. I do, anyways, personally try to pick the best bird I possibly can find that I think's the best bird. So, and my opinion is the only one that matters on that day. So I kind of take that track with it. And you always tell the good judges by the ones that work. So a lot of them work a lot, and some of them don't work so much. So if you're a good judge, you'll get plenty of offers. If you're not, you probably won't get very many. With anything else, whether you're judging pies or quilts. My wife's a quilt maker, so she's had some different quilt judges over the years. So there's some that she likes to show under and some she doesn't.
Yeah. I had breakfast with some of the judges at the Lucasville show, the semi-annual, and they were talking about how you are under pressure because you'll be criticized by other judges if you put up a bird that has they were talking about one particular bird had some things crawling on it, so they didn't want to place it, even though it was a really good bird. And they were saying, but what are the other judges going to say if I put a bird up there that has mites or whatever? So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's always in the back of your mind.
Say again?
And you have it's always in the back of your mind, but you have to be confident in your abilities and I guess your abilities to articulate why you put the bird up there. And if you can do that, you'll be fairly successful in judging, I think.
Okay, great. Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming on. I always learn a lot on these shows, and certainly learned a lot talking with you today. Whisper, do you have any final questions?
Just want to thank Matt for coming on. We're definitely looking forward to seeing him, meeting him in person, obviously this show season, maybe at the Ohio National, maybe the first show, who knows. Our paths may cross before then, and we're definitely looking forward to the Ohio National, I'm telling you what. And thank you for coming on the second Monday of every month, American Bantam Association. And Matt's going to be helping me get in contact, I hope, with some of the winners of the major shows across the country, so we can have them on. They can tell us about their breed that they show and their stock and their winnings, their awards, and what shows they intend on going to, and their points and where they are in the points and the whole nine yards. So we hope to not just have the officers of the ABA on, but also the members as well, especially the winners of some of these shows across the country. So we'll definitely be having some very entertaining shows on the second Monday of every month, which is reserved for the American Bantam Association. So, Matt, thank you very much for joining us, like Pat said, today, and we look forward to seeing you next month right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, thanks for having me, Andy, and I would again like to thank you for your sponsorship in the yearbook, and I hope everybody sees that page right on the front cover. Inside front cover.
To it. Yeah, what a great opportunity. I really lucked out with that, and this is kind of a neat story. I was actually with some friends up in Chattanooga, and my BlackBerry went off, and I started looking at it, and there it was, this email said, if you're interested, and I think within about 4 seconds, I had sent a return email to you and Karen saying, me. I said, I'll take it. So what a great opportunity, and I'd love to help out any way I can. So thanks for coming on today, and it is now time for chicken in, well, not chicken in the news, but our chicken trivia contest. Every day at the end of the show, we have a chicken trivia contest sponsored by one of our sponsors. Mondays, every Monday, is sponsored by Crazy K Farm and the Hen Saver, maker of the Hen Saver. And today's winner will take home a brand new Hen Saver hen apron for one of your hens. If your rooster does have a favorite hen out of the flock and she's starting to look a little worse for the wear, if you will, then these are great for preventing that. They're also great to help with predators. If you have free-range birds, this can help your hens repel, if you will, a hawk attack in many cases. In fact, you can actually even request to have some predator eyes sewn on to the Hen Saver hen apron. So when you have the predators flying above, it looks like there's a predator as well below. But they come in all different kinds of colors. You can get camouflaged, red, you name it. You'll just have to go to the website, hensaver.com, and take a look at what we're talking about. But the winner today is going to win one of those from Crazy K Farm, a Hen Saver hen apron, which are always cool. Do you have experience with those, Pat?
Well, I do. Thanks for asking, Mandy. I got one just about a year ago, and I got the one with the little eyeballs on the little wings and a little cape that goes over the front. And honest to God, it saved one of my hens because she was just having a terrible time trying to feather out through the winter. So she wore it most of the winter and finally did get feathered. But I think without that cape, the roosters and the cold would have just done her in. And I didn't really have a separate place to keep her. So, I think they're great. And every time some of the kids come to visit or whatever, I let them put it on one of the chickens. Of course, the chickens aren't impressed, but the kids are. They think that's just all the rage to have a hen apron on a chicken. They love it. Yeah, it's a good product. Yeah.
Good deal.
And very, very stylish. Good. I mean, it's the height of foul fashion, absolutely the height of foul fashion.
Perfect. I'm going to go ahead, and I was hoping that you did. And I remember, I think, that you also had used those before and talked about it on the radio show. So great sponsor. So proud to have them on board. And every Monday we'll be giving away a product from Crazy K Farm, including the Hen Saver hen aprons. Let me go ahead and get to our question for today. I think I'm going to use a different one than the original one that I was going to use because it was a little bit of controversy on that one. But the next one is pretty straightforward. I will take caller number five. Give me a second and let me get over to the my switchboard here. I'm about to give you a question. If you know the answer to the question, then you'd be caller number five. And then if you know the correct answer, when we go to caller number five, you'll win a really nice Hen Saver hen apron for one of your hens. And the number to call in never changes, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. We're going to give you time to try to pick your brain and go to commercial after I read the question to you. Today's trivia question is, name one of the two breeds of chickens in the American class. That's the key, in the American class. Name one of the two breeds of chickens in the American class that lays white-shelled eggs despite having red earlobes. So, it was a great question we had on Facebook fan contest. And so, what's so funny, Pat?
What I'm laughing at is I remember when we first started working together, I asked a question about earlobes, and you You thought it was just over the top and off the scale, difficult. Now you're combining, this is how far we've come in our chicken knowledge, right? Now we're combining the color of the eggs with the earlobes, which they say there is a match to, but it's the earlobes. I love it. I love it. We've come a long way, Whisper.
I think your question, though, had to do with the piercing of the earlobes, though, not necessarily egg color. I'm just kidding, Pat. I'm just kidding.
Yes, there are egg earrings and necklaces that match.
Manicures and pedicures and spa treatments for our chickens and everything else on this radio show that comes up. You get a hoot if you listen on a regular basis. And earlobes and everything else and different, you know. So let me repeat the question. We'll take caller number 5. Name one of the 2 breeds of chickens in the American class that lays white-shelled eggs despite having red earlobes, and of course the contest starts right now. We're going to go to a short commercial break, let the switchboard light up. We'll go to caller number 5 here when we come back, and hopefully we'll get a winner. If 5 doesn't know, we go to 6. If 6 doesn't know, we go to 7. That's the way it works, and the answer must match our answer here that we have as well. If you want to challenge our answer, you can do that via email after the show. That's the way that works, and I'm sticking to it. So we'll go to commercial break. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us, folks.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm-fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom-labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
And the Mighty Bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for joining us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And we've got a live chicken trivia contest going on right now. And I'm going to go ahead and get over here and repeat the question one more time. And then we'll go to the switchboard. And that, of course, is name one of the 2 breeds of chickens in the American class that lay white eggs or white shelled eggs despite having red earlobes? And I've got the answer here as well. And we're going to go over to the phone lines right now, too, because we've got caller number 5 on the line. All righty, caller number 5, welcome to the show. You're calling from area code 570, area code 570. If you'll state your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Holly, Pennsylvania.
Holly or
hey,
Polly?
Holly.
Hello.
You said
did
that
you
was
say
Holly?
Holly or
Holly.
Holly, okay. And you're calling from where again?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, great. All righty, Holly, thank you very much for calling in. Your caller number 5. Now we're just looking for the correct answer. You want to take a take a stab at it?
Is it a Wynette?
No, that's not one of the two answers that we have. And, of course, our technical advisor is Dr. Bridget McRae, Ph.D. and poultry scientist. It should let you know that provides a lot of our questions for us. But say your answer one more time. I'm pretty sure that's not one of the two I have here.
Wynette.
No, it's not it is not. So I apologize, but again, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in today. Good luck to you. Try back again. Maybe you have time to call back because number 6, 7, and 8 may not actually may not know the answer either. So I didn't know this until I got the answer from Bridget McRae over the weekend for our Facebook fan contest. So now that means we go to caller number 6 here, and so we've got, let me get the number down so I can call them after the show, make sure I have it correct. Again, today's radio show, a trivia contest sponsored by Crazy K Farm. Hen Saver is the prize you win today. It's a hen apron. Just go to hensaver.com. You'll take a look at exactly what you're going to win. All righty, we're going to the next caller here in the row. Caller, you're live on the air, calling from area code 978. Caller 978, please state your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Hello?
You're live on the air. If you'll state your name and what state you're calling from.
This is Chris from Massachusetts.
Hey, Chris.
Well,
Massachusetts.
Yeah, you're here. Just go ahead and take a stab at it. What do you think the answer may be?
The Dorking?
It's the what?
Dorking?
No, actually, that is not the correct answer either. In fact, the
well,
Dorking,
you know, it's not an American breed.
It's a yes, yeah, English.
Rock is the one that
the
told me that.
No problem at all. We appreciate you listening and calling in. It's a tough one. I'm telling you, it's a tough question. Dorking is in the English class. So thank you very much for calling all and listening up there in Massachusetts. Now let's go here to the we're going to go to another one here and see if they've got the answer. Just got to write this down here. Okay, I'm going to the next one. I'm glad I allowed enough time for everybody to go through this. All righty, caller, you're live on the radio. Caller calling in from area code 937. 937, you're on the air. If you'll state, tell us your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Emily from Ohio.
Emily from Ohio. You going to the Ohio National Fair this November, Emily?
Yeah.
All right, I'll be there too. Come by the booth and say hello. Maybe you can get some great Chicken Whisperer gear that way. Take a shot. What do you think the answer is?
Ancona?
No, it is not the the Ancona. Nope, that is not correct either. So it looks like we may have – I appreciate you calling and listening from Ohio. This is a tough question, Pat.
Yeah, it is a tough question.
I'm gonna go to one more. Now we're getting down here on the switchboard. You can still call in if you know the answer. You've had time to Google it. 347-637-3237 if you know. And I'm not sure this next one is just calling in to listen, or they're actually wanting to participate. So we're gonna go and we're gonna find out here in about 3 seconds. Caller calling in from area code 978. You're on the air.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, how are you? Are you calling
good
in to listen, or you want to participate?
I was going to participate.
Sounds
my
good
original. This is Bob from Massachusetts.
Which is
Fired
hey,
Rock.
Bob. Yeah.
I was going to say originally the Dorking, but That's
don't say that, Bob.
That's, I'm not going to say that.
Don't say that. Take that back.
I'm not going to say that because I know. Just a wild guess. I'm going to say a Delaware. I know it's probably
not a Delaware. Hey, I've got one more caller on the line that just called in. I've got to run,
okay.
Bob. Thank you so much for being a loyal listener. Let's go and see if we can't give this prize away. We're running out of time. Caller from area code 678. Area code 678, you're on the air. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Phil from Alpharetta, and I'm going to guess, according to my Google search, is it a Bandera?
It is not a Bandera. No, it is not, Phil. I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm not even going to tell anybody the answer. You're going to have to go and actually I'm not going to do that to you. And let me tell you a little hint. If you follow us on Facebook, you could have got the answer. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Go back and look at the Facebook fan contest we had. It was either maybe Friday or Saturday, and the two answers we would have accepted. And if you have a different answer and can prove this, you'll go ahead and send it to me, and I'll forward it to actually Dr. Bridget McRae. How about that? But we would have accepted the Lamona or the Holland are the two breeds that we would have accepted for this question. I'm sorry, we can't just give the prizes away. You got to earn them. But we did have fun. Pat, we're running out of time, so tune in tomorrow. The American Livestock Breed Conservancy will be here. Pat, it's all yours.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks to Matt Lehman, the Vice President of the American Bantam Association, for coming on today and teaching us so much. And, of course, thanks to the chat room Chickeneers, and thanks to our own Andy Spider, the Chicken Whisperer. Blessings to all and everyone, and may the flock be with you forevermore. See you tomorrow.